Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Come up with a couple of names, a few names for restaurants that I think might work. So I want to test market them on you and see what you think this morning. The first name for a restaurant I was thinking would be a pretty good name for a restaurant is, I don't know. Another one that I was thinking would be pretty good for a restaurant would be, I don't care. And then the last one that I was thinking of that would be a pretty good name for a restaurant would be something good. I don't know about you, but those are responses that happen often in our family. What do you want to eat? I don't know. I don't care. Something good. It's kind of funny how we have these debates over, and we take for granted how blessed we are to have all these things. You know, sometimes I look around in Elegy and I go, man, I wish we had one of these. I wish we had one of those. I'll admit, I'd love to have a Moe's in Elegy. I like Moe's. I'd like to have a place in Elegy that serves a good gyro. We were on the way back from the beach, almost 2 weeks ago now, and we stopped at a place in Macon called Papuli's. Apparently, they have a restaurant in Alpharetta as well. Man, they had a great gyro. It was fresh-shaved meat. I mean, just good, fresh ingredients, good stuff. So I'll admit, there's a couple things I'd like to have here, but honestly, I moved here from Lincolnton. Okay, for those of you who don't know Lincolnton, think of Elegy and think of one-tenth the size. Okay, we had a Hardee's and a Huddle House. All right? The only grocery store was an IGA, independent grocery store called Bell's. There just wasn't much there. So in Elegy, we have a lot more choices than what I had in Lincolnton. I have to admit there are many times that I want something good, but don't think I have enough choices. And then I have to think about all the people around the world who have so little. But here's the thing, when it comes to the things of God, all of us, regardless of where we live, regardless of our economic status, we have all the resources of God within our grasp if we just look to Him. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to have something good from Him. Too many times we want to define what's good rather than allowing God to define what is good. God knows what we need best. He knows that we need the truth of His Word to help us to understand that. So we're going to take a look at how Peter was encouraging his audience to crave something good. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look in verses 1 through 3. So if you would, stand in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You that Your word is truth, not a truth, but the truth, absolute truth. God, help us to hear from You today, Lord. Grow in our hearts. Stir within us right now a craving for Your word. Lord, that we want to be in Your presence daily, that we want to learn more about You daily. God, help us to apply these truths we hear today. And Lord, I pray right now, that in my weakness You'd be made strong, Lord. May I decrease that You might increase. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. There are three facts about why God's word is something good. Three facts about why God's word is something good. First of all, God's word has life. Now, anytime you come across the word therefore in Scripture, you know that you have to ask the question, what's the therefore there for? It always ties something previously mentioned to it. And in this case, if you look back quickly at verses 22 through 25, you found out that the therefore connects it back to the word of God that endures forever. The word of God that endures forever. The word of God's been planted like a seed in the Christian and it endures forever. We don't have to worry about running out or drying up or losing value. God's word has life, and indeed even abundant life for us if we simply place our faith in God, asking His forgiveness, and allow His word to be implanted in us. What Peter does here in verse 1 is to make clear that the things that bring death should no longer be a part of our lives as Christians. Malice is the Greek word kakia, and no, that's not a Korean-made automobile. It's instead a general term for wickedness or baseness. In English, we often think of the word as the intent to bring harm to someone else. But the word in the Greek is really more inclusive than that. You see, the word of God brings life into us, and sin is something that brings death, and the two don't abide well together. As a matter of fact, when you have death around life, it tends to take away life from life. Think about it, given that we're right in the middle of Apple Festival here, and you get a bag of apples. If you have a bad apple in there, you're not going to leave it in there. You remove that death from the life that surrounds it to protect the life of the other apples. In our lives, we don't need to cling to sin. In our lives, we need to lay those things aside so that God might help us grow. Deceit comes from a word that means bait or a fish hook, and is simply referring to those that would deceive a fish, that the fact that a fish is deceived by what's on the hook. So there you go, fishermen. Y'all are deceitful to fish. That's what you want to do. You want them to be fooled by what's there. You want them to bite the hook. Now, the word hypocrisy comes from a term that referred to someone that wore a mask and generally refers to someone living with insincerity and false pretense. This is the person that's not living out what they might be saying. Certainly, as believers, our word ought to mean something. Can I say to us, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we shouldn't need a contract for our word to be truth. When we give our word, it ought to be exactly that. And our yes ought to be yes, and our no ought to be no. Now, don't hear me say, I'm not saying that you should never enter into a contract. I'm simply saying that when we say what we say, it ought to be what we mean it to be, not deceitful, not deceptive in any way. Envy is a word that carries the idea of resenting someone else's prosperity. Folks, it is terribly sad to see it when someone else gets something good that other people sit around and go, I can't believe they're getting that. I mean, that's bad enough in the world. It's really bad in the church. Hello? We ought to rejoice when our brothers and sisters have good things come into their life. We ought to be happy for them, not envious of them. Now, slander comes from a word that means to whisper, to gossip or backbite. The Christian should never be the one to be a part of gossip. Although I realize the way we do that in Christendom is we simply say, let me share a prayer request with you. Did you hear about so-and-so? That's not a prayer request, let me just say. We need to be careful about the things that we say. I'm not a plant person. I will readily admit it. I'm not a green thumb. I don't mind taking care of a yard, doing the things that are necessary for that. I'm not going to plant a bunch of flowers in our yard. If they're going to be there, you can bet that 99.9% of the time my wife has planted those and not me. I'd rather just cut grass, and if it's necessary to water it, I will water it, but I'm not going to just try to see if I can have the most immaculate yard in the neighborhood. I'm just going to take care of it. We don't even have many plants in our house. Now, when I was serving as pastor in Marietta, we had a plant in the lobby of our church there, and I'm not 100% sure about this because, again, I'm not a plant person, so don't hate me if I call it the wrong thing, but I think it was a peace lily. And it was my kind of plant because I knew when to water it. Because when it started wilting, I knew it needed water. See, I'm smart like that. I would put water on it, and guess what would happen? The leaves would come back up. It would perk right back up. It was the ideal kind of plant for me. If there was ever a plant that was meant for me, it was the one like that that told me when I needed to water it. As Christians, we need to realize God's word has life in it, and we need that life poured into us regularly. Otherwise, we'll wilt spiritually. Otherwise, we'll get weak spiritually. But I'm afraid too many times, you see, those plants rely on us to add water to them. And here's the thing. That plant has no other way to get that water, but for you and me, we don't have an excuse. We can go to God. We can spend time with Him. We can be filled with His power and His presence. Too many times we act like we can't do anything about our condition, but that simply is not the truth. We must go to God's Word. We must spend time in His Word and recognize the truth about sin in our lives, because the sin brings death. It tears us down and it keeps us from what God wants for us. Peter exhorts us to set aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. We're not going to naturally set these things aside. We come equipped. Now, you may be saying, well, I don't do all those things, preacher. You may not do all those things, but there's probably one of those things that you have done. And if we want to get just real biblical about it, the Word of God says if we're guilty of breaking one of the laws, we're guilty of breaking them all. You see, we need God's truth poured into our lives to fill us, to energize us in our walk. All those things that Peter mentions here are signs of the old nature, and the old nature is wrapped in death. We've been given a new nature. We've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have life in us because He is in us. Have the wisdom to want to reflect the image of God. Have the wisdom to set aside those things that contradict His character in your life. I don't want to be a walking, talking hypocrite of the things of God. I want my walk to match my talk. I want people to see Christ in me. Therefore, I have to lay aside the things of the flesh. I have to lay aside the things that encumber. God's Word can give us life every day. But the thing is, we have to pick it up. And we have to dig into it. And there has never been a time when that was easier than it is now. We have access to the Word of God. If you have a smartphone, you can literally carry the Word of God with you everywhere you go. If you don't have the YouVersion app yet, download it. Multiple translations available. Multiple studies available there. And it's all free. We have opportunity to study God's Word. So we see God's Word has life. But secondly, I want you to see about God's Word is God's Word gives life. In verse 2, Peter tells us how we should long for God's Word. You know, a newborn baby doesn't come out of the womb going, man, I can't wait till I get my first ribeye. They don't have teeth. They can't eat anything like that. But they come out craving milk. They come out craving that. And while it's been a little while, since I had a little one, I remember that they crave it often. And they let you know often. It seems like about every 4 hours. They want to eat again. They can't get away from it. Peter is telling us to long for the Word of God like a newborn longs for milk. Do you long for His Word like that? Do you long to be in His presence, to be with Him, to study His Word? That newborn keeps coming back to be filled. As Christians, we need to realize that to grow in Christ, we have to long for His Word like that. We must see it as something that we have to sustain us. We shouldn't be far from it. We shouldn't go long periods of time without coming back to God's Word. A baby can't survive without the milk, and as Christians, we need to realize that we can't survive spiritually without the milk of God's Word. Now, I'm going to talk more in a moment about moving on to the meat of the Word, but we have to start with the milk of the Word. I'm afraid that too many Christians are sitting in church week after week after week and aren't even craving the milk of the Word. There are too many Christians that want the sugar water, that want the cotton candy. I remember both of our children when they were born, Janice nursed both of them, and for Haley, it took her a little bit more to catch on to that, to figure it out. So to begin with, we had to give her these bottles of sugar water. But then she eventually figured it out. She took on. Too many Christians are still on the sugar water. They just want the fluff, and they don't want to grow in God's Word. I've seen a lot of people over the years that want to have exciting worship, but don't want to dig into God's Word. I want to say to you, your worship will be increased the most in direct correlation to how much time you spend in God's Word. Now, if you want the warm fuzzies, you can get that a lot of places. But if you want to know God, you've got to go to His Word. And if you want to worship God, you've got to know the God of the Word to worship Him. We must spend time in His Word. Unfortunately, there are preachers today who smile a lot, give you positive messages, and never tell you what you really need to hear. Some preachers aren't going to talk about the cross. They don't want that emblem in their church. They're not going to talk about the blood because it's not a positive message. You won't hear them say the things that you need to hear. You won't hear them calling anyone to give up shallow living or to seek to be holy as God is holy. I have absolutely nothing against having a positive attitude, preaching a positive message, as long as that's what the text is. But we need to hear the full truth of God's Word. I'm not going to avoid text simply because people don't want to hear them. If it's in God's Word, it is the truth. And as you've heard me say many times before, unlike the bumper sticker, if God says it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it. It is God's truth, not my truth, not a truth. It is God's truth, the truth. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you that it's horribly wrong to listen to somebody who's going to preach a positive message, but I am here to say to you, if that's all you ever hear, it'd be like having a diet of nothing but cotton candy. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be filled as a Christian to live the Christian life and strengthen the way that you need to be strengthened. We must heed Peter's challenge here to long for the pure milk of the Word. I don't know about you, but if I have my wife makes awesome brownies. And if I have a brownie, it is just not right if I don't have milk. Now, I have to admit, I'm a skim milk person. I know for some of you that's water. It's okay. In heaven, you're going to drink skim milk. Just kidding. But I crave that milk, man. I mean, if it's not there, you know, there's just nothing else that replaces that for me. Milk is the only thing that will do it. Boy, I pray that I'd crave God's Word that way and not just want to eat a brownie. Pray that I've craved God's Word so much that nothing satisfies, that nothing fills me the way that it does, that nothing fulfills that longing within me as much as being in God's Word. Christians, we need to make sure that just as we seem to make time for meals, that we make time for God's Word. You know, I know sometimes we get busy doing things, we get caught up in working, we might miss a meal. I'll be honest, I do that seldom. I don't skip too many meals. But I'm afraid that it's so much easier to get busy in life and not go to God's Word. Don't study God's Word when you have time to. Study God's Word because you made time to, and because He's a priority in your time. I like to study God's Word in the morning. I like to start my day there. And I will readily admit, I'm not a real morning person. I'm not going to do that the first thing I get up. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I'm going to have to eat a little breakfast. I'm going to have to wake up a little bit before I can even be coherent. But I want to start my day off with Him. That may not be your best time. I don't know. But I would encourage you, even if that's not your best time, at least take a moment to read a scripture, to spend a little time with Him in prayer, to get your thoughts on Him at the beginning of the day, and then whatever is your best time, make sure you do your quiet time then, so that you're tuned into Him, that you're plugged into Him, letting Him grow you. So we see God's Word has life, and God's Word gives life. But finally, I want you to see that God's Word nourishes life. God's Word nourishes life. It's going to come up on that screen at some point, I know. Wow. All right, trust me. God's Word nourishes life. In the second half of verse 2, we see that Peter wanted us to desire God's Word because it will cause us to grow. Now, that's really the whole point of studying God's Word, that we might grow into maturity. Maturity equips us for the things of God. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says this, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking." I love this. "Yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature." You see, God hasn't called us to be naive. Now, the truth of the matter is, to some degree, we ought to be a little naive when it comes to evil. Now, I got to be honest with you. There are just some things that I'd rather not know are going on when it comes to evil. I know way more than I want to know about things that people do that are evil. But I want to be mature in my thinking when it comes to the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The wisdom that we should be seeking for is wisdom that comes from God. The only true wisdom is that wisdom that comes from God. And we seek after all the wrong things. Paul says, even in my preaching, "Listen, I didn't come to you to try to persuade you with what I was saying. I came to you to let the Spirit of God work through me." We get so caught up in, "Preacher, I just don't know what to say to that lost person." Listen to me. You don't have to know what to say. If God's working in their life, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. You just got to be willing to speak. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Let God say what he wants to say through you. I have found it time and time again that I don't have an answer in my head, just being honest, and all of a sudden God puts something there. And I know it's not me. I know it's not because I'm smart, because I know I'm not. But I know his Spirit is in me. And I know he can give me something that I hadn't thought of in years to say to someone who needs to hear his truth. If we want to grow in wisdom, if we want to be mature in our faith, we have to allow God's word to nourish us, to help us with that. Yet I'm afraid that many of us are more like the writer of Hebrews warns in Hebrews chapter 5. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." You see, there's a reality in the faith. We need to crave the milk of God's word, but we need to grow on beyond that. It's not enough to say with God's word that I want to know just a little bit about him. We ought to crave the deeper stuff from him, to have more of him. You know, if I come home and I'm hungry, and there's a bag of potato chips there, I might eat some of those chips. My wife will tell you honestly, I'm not a binge eater. I'm not going to pull out one of those, you know, bag of Lay's chips and eat through the whole bag. That's not me. I can eat a few of those, and I know some of you are saying, "I am. I'm one of those. I'll eat that whole bag." That's not me. I don't do that. But I'll eat some of those. I might eat some of those out of that bag. But now let's be honest. If sitting on that same counter was a medium, I don't like medium rare, but medium cooked prime rib, I can assure you I am not going to mess with those chips. I'm going to that prime rib, because that's the good stuff. That requires a knife and a fork. The problem is too many of us can eat God's word without a knife and a fork. And we ought to be eating it with a knife and a fork. Are you with me? We need to be growing to the point that we're digging into the deeper stuff. Always clinging to the primary, to the basic, because those things, it's like if you don't learn the ABCs, you can't learn to read. And we need to learn the ABCs of God's word, but we must move on. where we can read a paragraph, where we can read a novel. We need to be in God's Word, growing in His Word, so that the meat of His Word is what nourishes us more. We can't stay as an infant in the faith. I will never forget when Haley was little. Haley, my daughter, is 21 years old now. And I can tell this because she's not here. When she was little, I promise you this is the truth. My wife will back this up. She's a texture kid when it comes to food. If she doesn't like the texture of it, she does not eat it. She would not eat a cheeseburger because she didn't like the texture, but she'd eat a taco. A lot of the same stuff in the taco. But when it came to baby food, Haley did not want to get off of baby food. It was the texture. She'd keep eating that baby food, and I promise you, we had to push her to get off of baby food. Now, my son, Brooks, who's 16 right now, who's parking cars at the Apple Festival, my son who's 16, as soon as he got his first taste of real food, baby food was long gone. He wanted the good stuff. He wanted to move on. I'm afraid too many times in our walk with Christ, we want to hold on to the baby food and we don't want to move forward. But I pray we'd get a taste of the good stuff and we'd want to move on and grow. We'd want to mature in our walk with Him. In our Christian walk, we ought to be ready to move on. We ought to be ready to take in the good stuff. We shouldn't be content just to have the fluff of the Word. God nourishes us, but we must be willing to get down to the things that nourish the mature. I could have a couple of donuts for lunch, and it'd give me a little sugar rush, and then about 15, 20 minutes later, I'd be wanting something worthwhile, something of substance. So I'll wait and have the donuts after I eat the something of substance. Today, more than ever, I see how people prepare for things physically. People who work out a lot, who are real serious about it, have pre-workout things that they drink or eat. And then they have post-workout things that they drink or eat. And marathoners, you know, they've got it down to a science of the things that they'll eat in preparation, even several days leading up to a marathon, the things that they start pouring into their body so that they have the fuel to run that race. Folks, I want to say to you, the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we need to pour the right things into our life so that we can continue in this journey. And God's Word is the spiritual fuel that we need. But we must dig in. I pray that each one of us would truly hunger for God's Word and would desire to go on in maturity in His Word. It really is the very thing that gives us life, that sustains our life, that nourishes us. God's Word is the bread of life. It is the sword that we have. It is our offensive weapon to battle the enemy, and therefore we need His Word to defend us. We need it to sustain us. Desire God's Word above anything else that you might read in your life, and spend time with Him that He might nourish you and grow you. If you realize that you've not been valuing God's Word as a Christian, then I want to encourage you to ask God to help you see it as a valuable jewel, as something that you need to dig into, as something that literally is critical to sustaining your spiritual life. But if you're here today and you've never asked God into your life, you've never admitted to yourself that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, I want to encourage you today not to let this moment go by. Ask God's forgiveness. Place your faith in Him. On the authority of God's Word, I can assure you that the Word tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do it today. I don't have any doubt, looking across a room with this many people, that there are people here who are hurting. There are people here with burdens on their hearts today. I want to say to you that even though I don't know your burden, I know God does. And I know He will meet you where your need is if you'll let Him. Would you be willing to give it to Him today? Would you just trust it to Him and let go of it? Let Him work His will out in your life. and know that He will see you through. Whatever your need is right now, maybe God's put it on your heart to become a part of this body of believers. If He's leading you here, then you come and share that with me. Maybe you've trusted Christ as your Savior, never followed His command to be baptized, to profess Him publicly through the act of baptism. If that's you today, you come and share that with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your amazing, amazing grace. But Lord, I thank You that Your word is exactly what we need to grow us, to sustain us, to carry us. Lord, help us to pursue You in Your word. Lord, help us to desire Your word above anything else, above everything else. God, for those who are here today that don't know You, I pray that today they'd ask Your forgiveness and trust in You. For those here who are hurting, who are carrying burdens around, God, I pray they'd give it to You right now. Trust You to have Your way, knowing that You will meet their need in Your perfect timing. God, we give this invitation to You. I ask You to have Your way in our hearts and in this place. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.